This is You Learn So Much at Sea, written by Draco the Lizard and read by Tipsy Kitty. Everything changes the moment Ed joins their crew, and Steed can't believe his luck. Blackbeard, on his ship, willing to teach him and, okay, he'd rather not stab Ed or get stabbed himself again, but he's won a duel. The pain in his gut is worth it to see Ed looking at him with amazement and wonder, along with the cheers from the rest of his crew. Steed has never had a friend before, not one like Ed. He's so easy to talk to, and Steed's usual worries about saying or doing the wrong thing all fade away. It's not that he stops saying or doing the wrong thing, but Ed just corrects him or laughs with him, rather than at him. His chest warms whenever Ed laughs, his eyes crinkling at whatever Steed said or done. He wants Ed to smile all the time. From what he's heard from Fang and Ivan, Ed hasn't done a lot of smiling as Blackbeard. Steed's determined to make him laugh more, because that's what friends do. And sometimes, he catches Ed looking at him when they're sitting on deck or in Steed's cabin in companionable silence, with his dark eyes impossibly soft, and there's a flutter in Steed's stomach. He's glad Ed appreciates their friendship as much as Steed does. He can't take it if their time together is meaningless to Ed. Every day, Steed wakes up delighted with the new day ahead of him that he gets to spend with Ed. And he's so keen to start it, he doesn't even care he's on deck in his nightgown and robe. It's entirely inappropriate, not dressing for the day before heading out, but that would mean waiting longer to see that happy smile on Ed's face when Steed brings him his tea. And that won't do. Friends don't keep friends waiting for their morning tea. If we are to be co-captains, Steed says, swirling the brandy in his glass, it seems only fair that we share everything.
Like a wardrobe?
Ed asks, perking up. Oh, you can already wear anything in there, you know that, Steed tells him. And Ed smiles, eyes crinkling. And Steed smiles back, happy Ed is happy. No, I was thinking about the bed. I know you've been sleeping on the couch and that you insist it's perfectly comfortable.
It is, Ed insists.
Steed gives him a look. My bed's more comfortable, and you're my co-captain now. It's only right you get to sleep in it, too. Ed glances over at the bed, frowning. You think so? Of course. Steed wants Ed to share it. They're friends and co-captains. Doubt twists his guts. Don't you want to?
Oh, I want to, Ed says, still lying the bed. But we'll be pretty close together.
That's fine, Steed replies, getting up. Shouldn't be a problem. Ed hums as he looks at him.
All right. Bed sharing, sure. You want to start with that tonight?
Yes, Steed replies, or else he wouldn't have suggested it, would he? Happiness bubbles inside of him at the prospect of sharing his bed with Ed and seeing him first thing in the morning, or watching him sleep. They finish their drinks and Steed gets ready for bed in the ensuite, putting on his nightgown before heading back. He pauses when he sees Ed standing by his bed, barefoot and shirtless in the moonlight, and his hands on the buckles of his trousers. Something in Steed's guts twists at that sight, but not in a bad way. He's not sure if it's in a good way either. There's a mental image of Ed in his bed, bare skin everywhere, pressed against Steed, and that does something else to his guts, something needy and unfamiliar. Would you like to borrow a nightgown? Steed asks, feeling hot all over for some reason. Ed pauses, looking up from his buckles.
Oh, can I? One of the frillier ones?
Yes. Steed happily leads Ed to his wardrobe, glad he's back on solid ground. Solid sea? Either way, he feels more certain now that he's showing Ed his nightgowns, and watching Ed run his fingers down the sleeves. Which one would you like? Ed picks one, holding it against himself. It has some magnificent frills down the front.
This one.
He pulls it over his head, struggling with the sleeves a little. He grins at Steed as it falls down his body.
Good choice.
But you're not supposed to wear trousers underneath, Steed tells him.
Right, yeah,
Ed replies, hands still running down his front.
This feels great. Starting to see why you wear it to bed.
They are very comfortable. Steed heads for the bed, fussing with the sheets so Ed can get his trousers off and... Oh... There's that weird hot need again. It doesn't take Ed long to join him,
sliding in next to him while Steed is up against the wall.
Is that all right?
Ed asks.
I'd rather sleep on this side. Don't like feeling trapped.
Whatever you prefer, Steed assures him, smiling at him. Blow out the candle, will you? Ed does, and Steed tugs the curtains closed before lying down. As Ed already pointed out, they are close together. Their nightgowns are thin enough for Steed to feel the warmth and muscle of Ed's body where it presses against his. The hot, needy feeling in his guts doesn't go anywhere. Steed has fallen asleep within minutes ever since boarding the Revenge, while with Mary it often took him an hour to nod off. He figured it might have been the relief, or the hard work, or the sea air, maybe the rocking of the ship. But tonight, he's staring at the ceiling for an indeterminable time, with Ed's breathing evening out next to him. Maybe he's coming down with a fever? He'll have to ask Roach in the morning. He hopes Ed hasn't caught whatever he has. He falls asleep, still worrying over Ed getting ill as well, but his dreams are pleasant. He wakes up feeling safe and warm and secure, remembering being held tenderly, and he wonders where that came from. He blinks when he realizes he's still being held. In his sleep, Ed has rolled over so his knee is resting against Steed's thighs, one arm is slung around Steed's chest, and his face is burrowed in Steed's neck. Steed can feel every exhale, warm breath dancing across his skin, and, oh, he definitely has a fever. Ed mutters something, still sound asleep, and his knee slips between Steed's legs. Pleasure shoots like lightning up Steed's spine at the friction and pressure against his hard cock, and he whimpers. This is not a fever. This is desire. He's staring at the ceiling, heart racing in his chest at the realization. He doesn't dare move, his fingers curled tight in the sheets. Until now, he figured he could handle anything his new life threw at him so long as Ed was by his side. Anything. Except sharing a bed with Edward Teach. The end.